dog, tap their nose, tickle their cheek. Do not touch their side. It's always weird when you touch somebody's side. Hey, good morning, people. I'm excited to hang out with you guys this morning. If you do not have a Bible, raise your hand. If you don't have a bulletin, raise your hand. If you don't have a pen, raise your hand. Whatever you need to engage this morning, make sure that you have it. So raise your hand. Miss Jessica will grab you something. We are a youth ministry where we engage with God's word. It is how we learn. It is how we grow. It is how we retain knowledge. So make sure that you guys are doing that this morning. Again, if you need anything, raise your hand. Jess or Katrina would love to get that for you this morning. Well, good morning. How many of you have already wished your father happy Father's Day this morning? That is great. If you have not, make sure that you do that. It's an important thing to do. Lucy came in at 5:15 this morning, so cute, and said, "Daddy, I cuddle with you in bed." I said, "Happy Father's Day." And she cuddled with me, and she snores, and she kicks. And sometimes she takes off random pieces of clothing while she sleeps. It's really weird. But anyways, so happy Father's Day to none of you in this room, because none of you are fathers. So happy Father's Day to me. Hey, good to be with you guys this morning, and excited as we are in week three, Alyssa, of a four-week series called Let's Pray, where we are creatively learning to commune with God. I grew up where prayer sometimes was breakfast, lunch, and dinner, started with Dear Lord, ended with Amen, always had your eyes shut or my eyes shut during it. And as I got older and learned what it looked like to be a prayerful person, I learned that prayer can look so many different ways. And there are so many creative ways to commune with God, which is simply just a creative way of saying there's a lot of different ways to be with God. The way that I get close to friends, parents, relationships is by being with them. I have some friends where we spend time together golfing. I have other friends where we spend time together snowboarding. I have other friends where we spend time together building forts. That's really just Lucy and I. But lots of different creative ways to be with each other. And it's the same with God. There's lots of different creative ways. And so my goal during the series is to really to have this be a practical, interactive series where we're actually being introduced to new prayer practices, and that part of the service is actually doing those prayer practices. Because for me, my hope is that you guys would continue to be prayerful people, that you would leave this place as you head into college either in 4 years from now or 2 months from now for some of you grads, and that you would actually be able to leave with prayerfulness, knowing what it may look like to sit and be with God. So far, week one, we use the Psalms, and we use Psalm 103, and we used a prayer practice called Lectio Divina. And this was a main prayer practice that we learned in week number one, where we're actually taking the Psalms every week, because one of the ways we learn to pray is through the Psalms. The Psalms were written by incredible men of the Bible that are prayers. And in the Psalms, we learn so much about prayer. And we're actually going to dive in to what the Psalms teach us about prayer even a little bit more today. But week one, we took Psalm 103 and we read through that Psalm, and then we used a practice called Lectio Divina, which none of us in this room really had heard of. And so it was by far probably the newest prayer practice. And each week we've had a prayer challenge, that this wouldn't be a series where we just learn, where we just do, but where we would actually go home. And so we sent you guys home with a prayer challenge that is in the back. All the prayer challenges are back there. So if you missed a week, or you want another week, or you want to go back into it, those are in the back. So grab those. But my hope is that some of you actually took that prayer challenge and went home and did 1 week of Lectio Divina, or maybe 6 days of it, or a day of it, or whatever it was. And if you haven't, I'd encourage you to take that home, and you don't have to do all 7 days, but the goal is to start to look at different ways where we can commune with God. Lectio Divina is great for those of us who kind of like more structure, where we can sit down and say, okay, we read through it twice, and then we sit and pray over it and read through it a third time, and what phrase has stuck out to us. So for some of our personalities, my assumption is that maybe this worked really well. For some of us, this may not be the prayer practice that is for you currently. And that's okay. There's nothing special about each one of these that you have to leave with this. The goal is to just open our minds up to more ways to be able to be with God. So out of curiosity, since this is going to be a series of a little bit more interaction and already has been, I'd love to just take maybe 30 seconds to a minute of, has anyone practiced this? What did you like about it? What didn't you like about it? If you did practice it, why? If you haven't practiced it, why not? Not good or bad. But I'd love just a little bit of, what did we think about? What did we like about? What didn't we like about Lectio Divina? Let's talk for a sec. What do you think? What are your thoughts? Who's done it? Who has it? Yeah, Charlie. Okay. Too much, maybe?
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. I see that. And Psalm 103 is a little bit longer, too.
Yeah, well, I forget which Psalm I did it on.
Okay. Great. Okay. So it felt a little long to you. What else? For those of you guys who did or didn't, what did you like about it? What stuck out about it? Yeah.
I think it helped me focus.
Okay. Yep, it's good. Yeah, Luke.
I like doing Lectio Divina just because it's harder for me sometimes just to focus in regular prayer to God. So to have a tangible thing that I can be doing to like encounter God is just a really great way for me to hear from Him.
Yep.
That just gives a life for me.
Yeah, for some of us who just need some sort of structure, and sometimes it's different parts of our life, right? Like there are certain times where we just need more structure. It can work really great. Yeah. What about someone who hasn't done it that would share why they haven't from a practice? Maybe you didn't connect with it. You didn't understand it. Anyone from that side would love to hear from you. Yeah, Peter. Yep. Which would make sense as an artist, because imaginative, you can use your creativity.
I guess like that, maybe that part of my personality came out more in that. And like Lectio Divina, to me, it felt, or when we did it two Sundays ago, it felt like not as, it felt almost not as like free, I don't know, for me.
Uh-huh. Well, and that's kind of like with Luke, some of us will find freedom in structure, and some of us will actually feel like in a box with that and be like, no, I need to break free, which brings us to week two of Psalm 23, where we're going to do some imaginary prayer, which you're saying you connected with. And can you explain a little bit more why you connected with that prayer?
Uh-huh. Like a lot of times in prayer for me, it's like a way to calm down and a way to find peace.
Yep.
In moments, and that's like every moment, I guess.
But, yeah.
And then I did the Crazy Go app, imaginative ones.
Cool.
And I also experienced the same thing, just like lying down, like listening. And the struggle for me is making sure I don't fall asleep.
Yes. And it's okay if you do sometimes. Last night I did the Jesus Walking on Water one. I made about 10 minutes through and didn't wake up till this morning.
Yeah. I think there's a reason that you probably fall asleep. Like in random times too. Like I did mine in the afternoon.
Yep.
At like 1 p.m. And it's like you don't usually sleep at that time.
Yeah.
But it's like God's way of maybe saying relax.
Need to slow down a little bit.
Yeah,
totally. Imaginary prayer or imaginative prayer, for those of you guys who weren't here, is, as Peter was saying, it's a totally, and the goal of creative ways to be with God is, I want to give us a ton of different ways for different personalities, right? So for some of us, Lectio Divina is great because it gives us structure and we work well in that. For others of us, as Peter's saying, imaginative prayer is great because he actually wants more freedom. And so here's a prayer where we learn that finding a posture is important. Getting on your knees, laying down, going prostrate, standing up, closing your eyes, opening your eyes. There's a ton of freedom, but you want to find a quiet place without distraction. a time of day where you've got maybe 10, 15 minutes. Find a posture, and this is a prayer practice where you listen. Lectio Divino is basically about what? Reading, right? You read it three times. Imaginative prayer is taking a psalm or a ton of stories in Bible. It doesn't just have to be a psalm. And actually having it read to you, and you're listening, and you're bringing yourself into an experience from Scripture. So last night, I did Jesus walking on water. And so it's a great one to use our creativity and imagination on, right? Of actually being on the water, walking with Christ, falling down because lack of faith, and then him picking you back up. Sorry for the spitting. And so imagination, we can kind of jump in and use our creativity to come alive a little bit. Raise your hand. I know two of you for sure who downloaded the Pray As You Go app. So clearly you did, Peter. Charlie, I know that you did. Anybody else? Katrina? Great. So this imaginative prayer kind of experience, you have to, in order to listen, you have to have somebody lead it for you. And so there's a great app in the prayer challenge called Pray As You Go. It's an app that a lot of us on staff use for this type of prayer. There's not just imaginative prayer in it. There's actually a ton of different types of prayer in it as well. One that we'll introduce you guys to tomorrow. But so I would encourage you, and here's what I would say, is that for those of you who have yet to engage in this series or in one of these prayer practices, the challenges from week one and two are in the back. Week three's challenge, I believe, is in your bulletin. And so I'd encourage you to engage. I would encourage you to spend more time this week in prayer than you did last week. We grow in prayer by doing it. And yes, it can be awkward sometimes, but let's sit in prayer. Okay, with that, I'm going to open us in prayer as we jump in to week three this morning. So will you guys shut your eyes with me, bow your heads as a posture of just sitting and listening to God. And let's pray this morning before we jump in to our next prayer practice of this series. Heavenly Father, thank you, God, for all you're doing. Lord, I pray that you would continue to encourage us to engage in prayer. And Lord, thank you for teaching us creative ways to pray. That, God, we don't have to be in this box where it's just at meals in certain ways, in certain postures, with certain words, but that we can sit in different ways. That for those of us who are creative, imaginary prayer may be a great way to connect with you. For those of us who like to read and want structure, maybe Lectio Divino is a great way. For lots of us, maybe both, switching back and forth. And so, God, the goal is that we would become people of prayerfulness, that we would learn how to be with you to cultivate a relationship. We lift these things to you in your name. Amen. So when I was about 12, 13 years old, I went to Woodcrest Christian School for junior high, 7th grade and 8th grade. I played volleyball with a volleyball coach by the name of Coach Lambert. And this is Coach Lambert right here. This is me as like a 14-year-old. And I was not a very good volleyball player at all. However, I think Coach Lambert made me a way better volleyball player than I could have ever been. Coach Lambert, he encouraged me. He worked with me. He pointed out my weaknesses on the volleyball court, which getting our weaknesses pointed out is never fun, right? But we grow when people say, hey, you're not serving very well, Chad. You miss 70% of your serves. And so Coach Lambert taught me how to serve. And that following year, my eighth grade year, I did not miss one serve all year. I think I went 85 for 85 in serving. It's because Coach Lambert, he cared for me. He taught me things. And so Coach Lambert was an incredible, he was our history teacher at Woodcrest Christian School. And for whatever reason, he cared for me. He loved me. He poured into me. He challenged me. And I'll never forget one Monday after chapel. We had chapel every week at the Christian middle school that I went to. I'll never forget a speaker coming in, and I don't remember exactly what the speaker taught on, but something that got me thinking about serving God, something that kind of aroused my emotions. Maybe it was a mission sermon or something, but I'll never forget the chapel was over. Everyone started heading back to class, and I just sat in the middle of the state, like the stairs or whatever, on chapel, just praying to God, God, what do you have for me? How do you want me to serve you? Specifically, it was at a time where it was the end of the school year and we were getting ready to jump into the summer months. So school was going to end. And I remember thinking, God, what do you want me to do this summer? How can I serve you this summer? And I'll never forget, as I'm sitting there thinking all this to myself, Coach Lambert comes up to me, sits down next to me, and just says, "Hey, how are you?" I said, "I'm okay. I feel like I'm just wrestling with what I want to do this summer, and I want to serve God, and the speaker really kind of got me thinking through where God has me." And he sat next to me, and he goes, "Why don't you come to Alaska with me?" And I was like, random. He goes, "There's a camp called Camp Woody. This is Camp Woody in Alaska. It's its own island off of Kodiak. The island is about a mile and a half long, or round, however you say that. This is the main chapel, and this is kind of the main eating area with some cabins. And then all the other cabins are actually back here hidden in the woods that you cannot see. And this is Camp Woody." And he said, "Why don't you come to Camp Woody with me this summer?" And I was like, "Okay, to do what?" And he said, "Well, they run camps all summer long. For the high school camp, you can actually," he put me in the high school camp even though I was in junior high. He said, "You can be in the high school camp during that, and then the rest of the weeks, it's children's camp. And I want you to be a camp counselor." And so I was like, "Oh my gosh, that would be awesome." So I started thinking about it. My parents and I go through all the logistics of it. And next thing I know, we figured out a way to get me to Alaska. And Coach Lambert and I are on Alaska, in Alaska. There's a little Duffy boat going over into, from Kodiak is behind us, going over to Camp Woody for the entire summer. And I'll never forget getting on that plane flight in July. We were there for a whole month, from July to August, which for me was the longest I'd ever been away from home before. And I'll never forget sitting on the airplane with him. And as I'm sitting on the airplane with him, I'm nervous, I'm afraid, all sorts of feelings. I don't know what the summer's going to hold. And as he's done so many times through volleyball and other things, he sits next to me, puts his arm around me, and he gives me this. It's the first journal anyone had ever given me. And in his guy fashion, he kind of tries to artsy it up a little bit, right? Writes my name on it, puts a picture of the Alaskan flag on it. On the back, puts a little sticker inside of it. He writes my name and says, "Prayer journal for Chad Merrihue, Kodiak, Alaska, summer 2000. Puts a little map, circles where Kodiak is. He even put the Alaska state flag in the back for me with kind of explaining it. And he sits next to me. He opens this up and he goes, "I want you to have your first ever prayer journal. And I want this summer to be a time where you write down your prayers to God." And I'll never forget on that flight, he had me list kind of my prayer requests. And he had me list some personal ones, which the first one was mine and Elise's relationship to grow. Elise was another 13-year-old girl who I was certain I was going to marry. And so that was my first prayer request of the summer. I'm pretty sure we broke up the second day I got home from camp. I asked to pray for my grandma's health, my sister's singing group that she was in at the time, my walk with God, my parents, and my step-parents. That was a new part of my life. Both my parents had just got remarried, which was crazy, and I didn't like it. So I prayed about that. And then for the trip, I wrote down safety, my walk with God, and my growth, that God's will happen through this trip, and that I will grow more mature and wiser from this experience, to be a good influence and a good example. And then throughout the summer, I wrote my prayers to God. And last night, I spent time going back through this. As you can imagine, this is from 18 years ago, seeing what God did in my heart that summer. I will never forget, and I will forever be appreciative of Coach Lambert giving me this. That summer, I got to hang out. You'll see this is me in the middle, and these are a whole bunch of third graders that are all bigger than me. And I got to hang out, and I got to learn and love. This was my cabin of third graders as well, which this guy looked like he was 30, right? I look younger than all of them right here. And this was my cabin of boys for that week. And it was this summer in, again, this beautiful place where I started to learn how to write my prayers to God. And the prayer practice that we're going to learn this morning is called written prayer. Now, raise your hand if you have ever written a prayer on paper to God before. Raise your hand. Yeah, I figured this would be the most popular one that we have done so far. And I thought it's good to introduce us to one that maybe is a little bit more popular, or maybe for sure is one that may be a little bit more accessible. But I want us to learn what the practice of written prayer is. Because it's really powerful. And when you look at God's word, written prayer is all over God's word, right? Like, thanks to people writing down their prayer, we are able to learn about prayer, hear what prayer is, and take prayers from Scripture and make them our own. As I was thinking about written prayer in the Bible, I thought of five, now again, this is subjective, but five of the more powerful prayers from the Bible. If you're taking notes with us this morning, which I would encourage you to, these are in your notes for this morning. So what I want you to do is everyone open your bulletin to this section. And you're going to see the five powerful prayers from the Bible. And what I want you to do here is I want you to take your Bibles and I want you to mark down these five. We're not going to go through all five of them, but I'm going to do a little exercise here with us. The first one is in 1 Chronicles 4:10. So find 1 Chronicles 4:10. Tab it if you have tabs. There's always tabs in the back that you guys can grab in on your way in the morning. You can ear dog tag it, whatever that's called. But 1 Chronicles 4:10, so find that in your Bible right now. If you don't know where 1 Chronicles is, go to your table of contents. There is nothing to be ashamed of going to your table of contents to learning where things are in the Bible. I want you guys to learn. I'm not against iPhone Bibles, but here on Sundays and Wednesdays, we use tangible Bibles because it's good for us to interact, again, with God's Word. So 1 Chronicles 4:10, again, you can mark it. We're not going to read it right now. This is the prayer of Jabez. The second is Matthew 6, 9 through 13. Matthew is the first book in the New Testament, which is towards the second half of your Bible. So you can find Matthew 6. Go ahead and tab that or fold the page over or whatever. And this is the Lord's Prayer, probably the most famous prayer in Scripture. Most of us have read it, not all of us, but some of us will have read the Lord's Prayer. The third most powerful prayer in Scripture, again, a subjective list, is Jonah 2, 2 through 9. This is Jonah's prayer for salvation. This is where he is crying out to Christ. The fourth one, again, you guys are flipping all over. Challenge yourself to find where these places are in Scripture. Encourage yourself to figure out where these different books are. The fourth one, 1 Samuel, you're back in the Old Testament now. Chapter 2, this is Hannah's prayer of praise. And again, all these are in your bulletin. So if I'm going too quick for you, you can find these. All five of these are in your bulletin. And then the last one is in Psalms, which we're doing a lot of Psalms because Psalms are all these incredible songs of praise and prayer to Christ. Psalm 3 is David's prayer for deliverance. Okay, so those are the five. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to pair up with your row. So if there's four in your row, great. If there's three in your row, whatever that is, I want you to pair up in your rows. And I'm going to assign each of you one of these. And as a row, I want you to read through whatever prayer I gave you, and I want you to pick out three specific things that you learn about written prayer from the prayer that I've given you. Does that make sense? So you're going to read, if it's the Jonah 2, you're going to read Jonah 2, and then you've got three blanks in your bulletin that I believe says prayer is blank, prayer is blank, prayer is blank. And I want you to take that psalm as a group, or not that psalm, that passage as a group, and what do you learn about prayer? What do you learn about written prayer? Okay, take it wherever you want. I'm going to give you about 3 minutes to do that as a group. Write down your three answers, and then we're going to share. Make sense? Okay. I need to assign them. Okay, so let's go to, if you're this area right here, you are going to do 1 Chronicles 4:10. So you girls are going to do 1 Chronicles 4:10, and then that back row, you guys are going to do 1 Chronicles 4:10. You guys right here are going to do Matthew 6, 9 through 13. So you can circle that one on your bulletin. Girls, Marky, you guys are going to do Jonah 2, 2 through 9. Miller, you guys are going to do 1 Samuel 2, 1 through 10. Micah, you guys are going to do Psalm 3. And John Kratzberg, you guys are going to do Matthew 6, 9 through 13. All right? So take 3 minutes, read the passage together as a group. You can kind of circle up if you need to and find three specific things that you learn about written prayer. Ready, go. And remember, you're not so much dissecting the passage and its theology as you are taking it and learning what it teaches you about prayer. So just to kind of help remind us, you're not necessarily breaking down the passage of what it means as much as you're trying to understand what may it be able to teach you about prayer, specifically written prayer. Take another 2 minutes. You'll see you got three spots to kind of specifically identify three specific things. And then once you have those, pick one person in your group that can kind of share, and I'm going to call in each group to kind of get a little bit of your guys' insight. Yeah, so one of you two, and then one of them. She's trying to get out of it. All right, how are we doing? We need another minute? Everyone's good? Okay. So let's come back together. And we're going to start with the groups or group that had 1 Chronicles 4:10. And so I'd love to just hear, what did 1 Chronicles 4:10 teach you about written prayer and maybe give us a little bit of insight of how you came to that conclusion. Who had 1 Chronicles 4:10? So why don't we, let's start with you, your group up here in the front. Alyssa, what did you guys have? Yeah, give us all three. Great. All three really good things, right? Prayer can be something that, did you say God can grant? Great. Awesome. Girls in the back. Great. And where did you pull the life-giving part from? Yeah. Great. I love it. That's awesome. Let's go to the Matthew 6:9 passage. Who had Matthew? You guys didn't. You guys did. Let's start up here with you guys in the front.
We said prayer is confession, prayer is praise, and prayer can be simple.
Awesome. And where did you find some of those themes in the passage that kind of brought that to light for you? Yeah, that's awesome. And it's cool, as I'm already hearing from the three of your groups, that written prayer can have all sorts of different parts of it, right? Praise, confession, like all these different pieces in it. John, your group in the back. Okay, and where'd you get the humbling part from? Yeah. Yeah. If you're asking for forgiveness, is that humbling of actually recognizing there's something to forgive? Yeah. Yeah, Peter.
One thing that I noticed about Matthew 6:9-13 is that it's similar. I mean, there's a direct line of reasoning, and maybe just about written prayer in general, the way we write in school, it's similar because you have a cause and effect. You write, you reason. There's a line of reasoning, and in the prayer, it seems like the line of reasoning is clear. It's a logical. Whereas if we're praying imaginatively and stuff, we can bounce all over the place. Whereas if it's if there's a direct line of reasoning saying, well, because this happened, that leads to this. Okay, then you write that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's more sequenced.
Uh huh.
And then in the Lord's Prayer, it's kind of praise to God. And then you're so great, and then forgive us,
yep.
Because you're so great, we ask for your forgiveness, and it's kind of
Yeah. Yeah, that's awesome. I love that. What about the Jonah 2 passage? Who had Jonah 2? You girls. Yeah, what did you guys find? Huh. Tell me how you got prayer as a story. I didn't think of that. I like it. Yeah, he's sharing a story. It's almost this looking at the past too, right? That's awesome. Cool. I love that. Anyone else have Jonah 2? Okay. Who had 1 Samuel 2? You guys did. Great.
Prayer is praise. Prayer is not all about us. Prayer is hopeful.
Prayer is praise. Prayer is not about us. Prayer is hopeful. Where'd you get hopeful from? Yeah.
So it's this idea of the weak, going first.
Yeah, that's awesome. Cool. Anyone that I Psalm 3, you guys right here.
We said prayer is asking for protection, prayer is hopeful, and prayer is thanking God.
Ooh. And where'd you pull the thankful part from? Yep.